The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Mark, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, greatest grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There was once a daughter who brought home her fiancé to meet her parents for the very first time. And as they were approaching the house, the mother asked the father if he would speak to this young man in private and find out what kind of a person he was. So after dinner, the father invited the young man into the study. While they were there, he asked him, "What do you do for a living?" The young man said, "I am a Torah scholar. I study Torah." And the father said, "Okay, well, how do you plan on helping my daughter provide for a living? And how do you plan on helping make a life for the two of you?" And the young man said, "I will commit myself to studying Torah, and God will provide." The father said, "Okay, well, how will you buy her a beautiful ring such as she deserves?" He says, "I will study. I will commit. God will provide." "Well, how will you help her buy a house?" "I will study. God will provide. And should the two of you choose to have a family, how will you help support your children?" Once again, he said, "I will study, and God will provide." After the couple departed that night, the mother asked the father, "Well, how did it go?" The father said, "Well, the bad news is he has no job and absolutely no plan whatsoever." The mother said, "Oh my gosh, well, what's the good news?" He says, "Well, the good news is he thinks we're God." Happy Father's Day. I'm overcome with just absolute warmth and love on this day. You know, Father's Day for me has always been more of a generic holiday, something to acknowledge in another person that they are a parent. And it's taken up until this moment to realize that when it becomes contextual, when that generic idea takes shape in an actual human person with an identity and a personality, It's really the most amazing thing I can imagine. And, you know, one of the things we want to do when witnessing something as amazing as a child, as a human soul in another, is we want to place that in the context of our readings, of Scripture, of how we understand the Bible and how we understand God. And we can always find this parental love when we look at God, especially in the context of our own children or our own loved ones. And it's kind of surprising in that way, because there is something we tend to miss quite often in our understandings of Scripture, in our readings of the story of God's people. And it is this unconditional love that God has for God's creation. We see that quite often in the Bible, in God's affinity for those that society or culture might see as weak or insignificant, inconsequential, or ordinary. But honestly, that is the story of God's people from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. We see this affinity that God has for the people that we otherwise disregard. I mean, you look all the way back to Abraham, the man that God said he was going to start this whole new tribe from. The man that all Christians, Muslims, and Jewish people look to as their patriarch. Abraham is one of the most significant people in the Bible. But Abraham was just an ordinary guy. He was a nobody. He had no royalty, no significance. He was just this average guy that God came to and said, I'm going to start something new and amazing through you. And then Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who takes on the name of Israel, who has 12 sons who become known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob was a scumbag. He was constantly trying to cheat people out of their things and get things that he did not earn himself. Yet this was the man who God chose to take on the name Israel. Moses was a stuttering fool. David was an adulterer. People with qualities that we would not look up to, that we might consider insignificant or meaningless, these are the people with whom God chose to work through. God has an affinity for what we might consider weak or insignificant or ordinary. And then Jesus comes along, this guy who was born to a single mother or an unmarried mother from an insignificant part of the world, a man who becomes the Messiah and who commits his life to then reaching out to all of the other people that society had deemed weak or insignificant or ordinary, continually tried to bring them into his fold, into the community of this world, and to remind them of their worth, their validity, and God's love for them. When we look at the entire arc of the Bible, we see that God chooses to work through the ordinary. And God doesn't just simply have an affinity for these people or just an affection for them, but God tends to want to use them more than anybody else. God tends to work through the people that we would look at our own stories and say, that person shouldn't be the main character, that should be some side character. God typically chooses to work through what we might consider weak or ordinary. Which is odd, because we in our culture, we don't have this affinity for those kind of people, do we? No, we like strength. We like wealth. We like power. We like status. We like material possessions. We work really hard not to acknowledge the people in our own culture who we might say are weak or ordinary or insignificant. But not only that, we work very hard to not consider that part of ourselves either. We work very hard to mask our own weakness or insignificance or ordinariness or brokenness. We work very, very hard at it. We bury it. We mask it. We make excuses for why it exists, especially church people. Thank you, Erling. That was a joke. This is supposed to be a community of authenticity, of openness, where we can be ourselves and come into this place for comfort and love and support. And yet, people in church are typically the ones who work the hardest at hiding their own ordinariness, their own weakness, their own brokenness, what they might consider their own insignificance. And we fail to see that it is usually in these spaces that we encounter God. It is in these spaces where the divine exists and speaks to us. And it is not in this place that God resides to make us whole or strong again, to fix us. No, that's not what God is there for. It is in these own places of ourselves, these own weaknesses that we have inside, where God is there to just simply remind us how loved we are, to walk with us in that space as a companion. To know that we are not alone, to love us and affirm us as we are. Cultures for thousands of years have not had this affinity. It's no surprise that we don't have it either. This is not something that is new. People have been disregarding the ordinary, the insignificant, that which they might consider weak for thousands and thousands of years. The same people in Jesus' time were doing the same exact thing. Which is why Jesus walks into a crowd and shares these two parables of what God's kingdom is like. And a lot of the time we hear Jesus talk about God's kingdom and we think that Jesus is talking about this future thing. But when Jesus talks about God's kingdom, usually he is talking about God's values, God's will, God's desire for us in our lives. And so when Jesus comes and says, this is what the kingdom of God is like, he is talking about a present reality here and now. These two parables speak to us in two different ways. One, it asks us to be open with ourselves about our own weakness, our own brokenness, our own anxieties or shortcomings or shame or guilt, whatever it is. It can't start until you are open with yourself about those spaces that exist, those spaces that you probably for a very long time have been working hard to cover up and not look at or be aware of. And when you do open that space, you find that God is right there. In your waking, in your sleeping, you have no control over it whatsoever. God is right there in that space. But you have to open it to encounter that divine presence. And then we hear that God chooses to work through us in that space. And this is such wonderful news. God doesn't come in and coach us back to strength. God doesn't come in and try to fix us. Rather, God uses us in that space, in those moments, to share God's love in this world. Now, as I stand up here and I speak to all of you today, I'm aware of two things. One, some of you might be encountering that kind of brokenness in yourselves right now. And if you feel like you are not able to suddenly go out and be used by God as a tool in that space, that's okay. The first thing I would ask anybody to do is to just encounter God there. Just live in that space with God. Let God speak to you. Come to terms with the fact that God has an affinity, an affection for people in their brokenness, not to shame them or guilt them or fix them, but simply to just love them right there in that space. And often enough, we do not ever allow ourselves that grace to be loved by God. Often enough, I do not talk about that up here, to just rest in God's presence. completely open to the divine, knowing how much God loves you right there. Do that first. Always, always, always do that first. And if you feel like you come to a place where you can now brace out into the world in that openness, then understand you do not have to be talented or rich or whole to be used by God, because that is not the story that we read about in Scripture. We do not hear about a God who comes through all of these perfect, strong, wealthy people full of status. In fact, most of the time, God uses people in and through their brokenness to share God's love for the world. I can't tell you how often as a pastor I hear people say, I can't do this for you, Pastor, because... But I would say to all of you, no, that's why you can be present in this church, in this community, to bring God's love and justice to those around us. It's because God uses people in that space. Reminds me of a story. There was once a Buddhist monk who was responsible for bringing the water to his temple every day for the other monks to use. And every day he would walk about a mile down to the river to fill two pots with water that would hang from a stick that he would carry on his shoulders. One of the hot pots was completely whole, while the other had a small crack in its side. And every day as he would go and fill his pots of water, he would walk them back, and the pot with the crack would always lose about half of its water by the time the monk got back up to the temple. And he noticed that the other pot always came back with all of its water. The pot with the crack became very ashamed of its blemish, very ashamed that it could not provide in the way that the other pot did. Yet this monk used it for 2 years. And finally, after these 2 years, after filling up with water and walking most of the way back up to the temple, the pot with the crack in its side said to the Buddhist monk, I'm sorry. I'm so ashamed of my blemish. I'm so ashamed that I can't bring back a full pot of water like the other one can. Please forgive me. And the monk looked at the pot and said, I could have gotten a new pot, or I could have fixed the crack in your side. But I want you to look at the path behind us. And as he turned around, on one side of the path were the most beautiful wildflowers you've ever seen. And the monk said to the cracked pot, birds scatter seed all over this land, but seeds need water to grow. And you have been watering the seeds in this path for 2 years, and look how beautiful the path is behind you. If we are going to be people who tell stories about how God uses us in our own brokenness, our own weakness, to share God's love in this world in extraordinary ways, if we're going to tell these stories of how God can use ordinary people to do great things, then let's just go out and do great things. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.